Imagine a massive cargo ship just completely stalled in a major geopolitical choke point.
Which is becoming a pretty regular occurrence, honestly.
Right, yeah. And at that exact same moment, thousands of miles away, you have this sudden spike in natural gas prices that forces a fertilizer plant to just shut down.
It's immediately offline. Yeah.
Exactly. And while those two things are happening, a sudden burst of solar activity triggers this like minor voltage irregularity in a regional power grid, and it temporarily knocks a major automated logistics hub completely offline.
It's just a cascade of events.
And it really is.
Yeah.
I mean, 5 years ago, we would have called these completely isolated incidents. But today, that's just Tuesday. So, welcome, truth seekers, to this deep dive. On behalf of the Great Awakening Report, we are digging into the weekly briefing subscribers Q&A for the week of May 8th. I'm Adrian, your host, and with me is our expert guide, Elena.
Thanks, Adrian. I'm really ready to get into it. We have an incredibly dense stack of material to synthesize for you today.
Oh, we really do. We're pulling from, I think, 57 independent sources today.
Yeah, 57, ranging from, supply chain analytics to grid security white papers.
Right. And we're doing all this to look at what we are calling the convergence point. Because this content, the insights we're unpacking for you today, it exists entirely outside of the mainstream media's standard news cycle.
Completely outside of it.
Yeah. I mean, if you only watch traditional broadcasts, you're getting a really fragmented view. They'll report on the stalled ship and then the gas prices and the grid, but all totally separately.
Like they exist in vacuums, which they don't.
Exactly. But you, the subscribers writing into the mailbag this week, you've clearly noticed the broader pattern. The core theme across almost every question we got is this overwhelming sense that our major global institutions, I mean, finance, tech, healthcare, media, they're all experiencing these simultaneous overlapping pressures.
And that is a critical distinction to make right at the start. The data across these 57 reports, it doesn't show a series of random bad luck crises.
Right. It's not just a string of bad days.
No, not at all. It points to a structural convergence, geopolitical conflict, economic strain, environmental volatility. They're all reaching these critical thresholds at the exact same time.
Yeah.
The architecture of the last 70 years is just being stress tested all at once.
So let's start right there because the most urgent theme in the subscriber mailbag focuses on exactly that stress test. Question one from you guys was essentially asking, are we just entering a permanent state of global instability, or is this just a really ugly transitional phase?
It's a great question. And I think to answer that, we really have to define what stability actually meant in the past versus what it means right now.
Okay, so how do we define the passibility?
Well, the post-World War II era gave us this very specific, almost artificial illusion of stability. We operated in a unipolar geopolitical system,
Needing one dominant superpower.
right, with highly protected global trade routes and, relatively predictable supply chains. And because that lasted for decades, we just assumed it was the natural state of the world.
Like that was just how things were always going to be.
Exactly. But looking at the macroeconomic and geopolitical analysis in this week's briefing, that architecture is actively fracturing into a multipolar system. You have emerging coalitions creating parallel financial systems.
Right, and they're all competing for the exact same raw resources.
Yes. So the pressure in geopolitics, economics, even basic infrastructure, it's continuous now. It's not cyclical.
Okay, let me jump in with an analogy here because it feels to me like a shift in environments, like moving from, say, a really calm lake to a whitewater river.
Oh, that's a really good way to frame it.
Right, because if the river isn't going to stop rushing, asking when does this end is the wrong question entirely. It's really about learning how to paddle.
Like that is exactly it. Yeah. The systems aren't necessarily collapsing into total chaos. They are reorganizing against these new realities, a multipolar world, incredibly interconnected tech.
So they're adjusting to a totally new baseline.
Yes. So stability used to mean eliminating volatility, building a dam to stop the river. Now stability means managing that volatility. It's about how well you navigate the white water.
Right. And if we're all learning to navigate that white water, the most immediate current pushing against practically everyone right now is the economy, which leads us perfectly to question two.
The economic disconnect.
Yeah, exactly. Why does the economy feel so strained for individuals, in their everyday lives, even when the official data suggests things are improving?
This is such a massive source of frustration for people. And the reason is that we are looking at a huge gap between aggregate lagging indicators like GDP and inflation and your cumulative lived pressure.
Like the actual cost of existing.
Right. And the crucial quiet role here is energy costs. Energy is the invisible thread tying it all together.
Okay, let me push back on the mainstream narrative for a second with an analogy, because I hear inflation numbers dropping and I think of highway driving.
Okay, how so?
Well, if the official narrative says inflation is dropping, people naturally expect prices to go down. But they're just rising slower. It's like slowing your car down from 100 miles per hour to 80 miles per hour.
You're still speeding.
Exactly. Bye. You're still moving incredibly fast in the wrong direction. So why do the numbers and the feeling diverge so fundamentally?
Because of that energy baseline I mentioned. Energy influences transportation, agriculture, basic services. It ripples outward and raises the baseline cost of literally everything.
So even if the inflation rate slows, that base cost is permanently higher.
Exactly. And structural issues like rising debt and huge infrastructure costs prevent any macro policy adjustments from reaching your household quickly. So the government might tweak interest rates, but you're still paying the higher grocery bill today.
Wow. Yeah. And trying to figure out the truth about that economy is even harder when the very ways we get our information are just totally fracturing. Which brings us to question three.
The media landscape.
Right. Subscribers are asking, is the rise of independent media actually improving truth and transparency? Or is it just creating more confusion?
And the honest answer to that is, it is doing both.
Both at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the monopoly of centralized narratives has completely broken. That's the transparency part.
Which is a good thing, right? Because it allows for deeper analysis. We can actually look at long-form context now.
It is a good thing, yes. But it removes a single centralized truth reference point. We're in this really messy transition phase right now, going from centralized control of information to totally distributed interpretation.
I kind of look at it like a massive buffet. The old mainstream media, that was like a set menu. You just ate whatever they served you.
You didn't have to choose.
Right, just sat down and took it. But independent media is this giant, sprawling buffet. It's incredibly liberating, but man, if you don't know how to filter what goes on your plate, you're going to get sick.
That is the perfect way to put it. The burden of discernment has completely shifted onto the individual. You are solely responsible for verifying the facts now.
Which is exhausting.
It's deeply exhausting. And this decentralized buffet has put entirely new, massive topics on our radar, things we used to treat as completely separate domains.
Yes, which leads right into question four. This was everywhere in the mailbag. Why are environmental events, solar activity, and these sort of unknown topics gaining so much attention at the exact same time?
It goes back to the interconnected sensitivity of our modern systems.
Meaning everything touches everything else.
Exactly. Environmental stress like extreme weather or geological shifts, that directly impacts tangible infrastructure. Shipping lanes, crop yields, that sort of thing.
Okay, but what about the sun? People are so focused on solar flares right now.
Well, solar activity directly impacts global tech and communications. If a coronal mass ejection hits the Earth, it can induce currents in the power grid, knock out GPS, scramble satellites.
And we rely on GPS for everything. Like even commercial farming relies on GPS to plant seeds.
Right. So a solar flare isn't just an astronomy event anymore. It's a food supply event. And during times of instability, humans naturally look outward, you know? We look to cosmic cycles and bigger frameworks to find context for the chaos on the ground.
Okay, but let me play devil's advocate for the listener here. Are these events actually converging in a new way, or do we just have, like, way better smartphones and detection systems now? Are we just hyper aware of things that have literally always happened? Are we seeing patterns that just aren't there?
It's a really valid question. And the truth is, it's a mix.
Okay, a mix how?
The technology definitely makes these phenomena visible in real time, which amplifies our awareness. But these domains truly are aligning. They are interacting parts of the same evolving global system. The sun has always had flares, yes, but we haven't always had a fragile, microchip-dependent global supply chain to be disrupted by them.
Okay. So the threat has scaled up because our vulnerability scaled up?
Precisely.
Man, realizing that everything from the global economy to the sun is interacting in real time, that can feel incredibly daunting.
It can be paralyzing.
Yeah. Which brings us to the final question, question five. How should individuals respond to all these overlapping signals without just completely becoming overwhelmed?
The most vital shift you can make right now is moving from consumption to integration.
Break that down for me. What does that actually mean?
Well, consumption is tracking every single piece of noise. It's doom-scrolling the news, obsessing over every economic data point. You have to stop doing that.
So what's integration then?
Integration is looking for the repeating patterns. It's the absolute necessity of practical adaptation. You need to maintain your physical and emotional stability, accept that there is going to be uncertainty, and ensure your awareness actually translates into grounded action.
I kind of see obsessive news consumption like standing in a thunderstorm trying to catch every single raindrop in a cup.
You're just going to get soaked.
Right. You end up totally exhausted, freezing, and soaked. Instead of trying to catch the raindrops, you just need to build a roof. You focus on what actually hits your immediate environment.
That's exactly it. You can't control the storm, but you can waterproof your foundation.
So let's tie all of this together. We've gone through the five core questions. We're looking at the big picture of this convergence point.
It really is a single massive picture when you step back.
It is. Geopolitical conflict links directly to the economy. The energy bottleneck links to food production. Independent media changes how we perceive all of that. And then environmental factors and solar cycles add these wild variables on top.
That is the convergence. It's total interconnectedness.
And I think what we need to remind everyone listening is that stability doesn't come from controlling the outside world. You're never going to control the macro events.
No, true stability comes from how you relate to those events. Awareness creates space, and space creates clarity.
And clarity restores choice.
Yes, you move from just reacting blindly to actually observing.
I love that. So I want to leave you with a final provocative thought as we wrap this up. Because historically, whenever these massive centralized structures begin to buckle under their own weight, it always gives birth to something else.
Radical localism.
Exactly. Radical localism. As you step into your week, I want you to ask yourself, are you observing your thoughts or are you just being carried away by them?
Are you reacting to the noise or are you grounded in your own perspective?
Right. Because the real shift isn't happening out there in the world. It's happening in how you choose to see it. Your micro world is where true anti-fragility lives. So stop agonizing over international policy and start securing the skills and relationships in a 5-mile radius around your home.
The macro world is chaotic, but your local world is entirely up to you.
Absolutely. So stay grounded, stay aware, and keep connecting the dots. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.